1983, I was 23 years old. For those who like calculating things, I was actually born in 59, but anyway, I was 23 years old. Sometimes people like to figure out people's ages when they say things like that. I had known Vivian for almost a month, just a month, but we weren't even a couple yet, let alone like engaged or married. And I had reached, she had reached too, the end of a month-long orientation for missionary organization SIM. One by one, all those attending had to come before this board of SIM leaders. If it was a couple, I think they went in together, but you know, when it was just us, we went in singly, and they were to ask us some key questions at the end of this orientation. And so when I was in there, one of the things that they asked me was, tell us about your calling to be a missionary. Looking back, maybe it was a bit risky for me to say to these, you know, great leaders of this mission, but I said, I don't think the New Testament uses the word calling that way. It's common though, isn't it? It's extremely common for missionaries, for pastors, now we've served as both, for many Christians. It's common to talk about the call to the mission field or the call into the pastorate. And sometimes lay people will refer to their job that they have or maybe a ministry that they happen to be doing as being their calling. Well, this morning we are going to look at what the Bible says about calling. I thought I was going to end the series in June. We're tacking on another one. Still a little bit of time where I could take another topic or two. If you want to, just let me know what that is. But I decided I was going to talk about this morning. And we're going to see this morning that when it comes to the use of the word calling or called, that it's yet another example. Maybe I should preach a sermon series on words or phrases that people use that are actually in Scripture, but they don't use them in a scriptural way. And that's what I think the category is here. Most people tend to think about the big calling. There are phrases like that we use, but we're not using calling really the way that Scripture fully intends. Now to say that is so contrary to what many of you have heard. Some of you may already have stars going around your head. Your mind's already be blown about where I'm going to go with this. The fact that I'm suggesting that when we use the term like calling, that we shouldn't just be thinking specifically of missionaries and pastors. So because of that, because you may be thinking, where is this going to go? I've decided that it is a good Sunday for us to see exactly. I want to show you where we are headed this morning. So here is the general idea. As I turn the remote on, excuse me. The general idea is all Christians have a calling, not to a specific job or even ministry, but to a life that glorifies God and enjoys Him forever. So I'll go ahead and repeat that because it may be a new concept for you. All Christians have a calling, not to a specific job or even ministry, but to a life that glorifies God and enjoys Him forever. So that's our main idea for this morning. Another way to say that you could phrase that, if this is maybe shorter and easier for you, is that in the New Testament, calling applies to all Christians, not just to special Christians. Everybody with me so far? Okay. That's the general idea. We're going to give you now a specific definition for that word calling. It's God's personal invitation to establish a relationship with Him through Christ, and those invited respond, yes. Again, you may need to think about that. And in fact, when we think of calling, you may think it's a little bit strange that the word invitation is up there. But, you know, some of you do your own Bible studies, and if you were to grab a Strong's Concordance, or if you look it up on an app that uses Strong's Concordance, you would see that with this word in the New Testament, it literally can be translated as invitation. So that's one of the reasons why we use that. We're talking about an invitation that God gives to a person, and that invitation is to establish a relationship with Him by means of His Son, the Lord Jesus. But what do I mean by that last part? Those invited respond yes. We're going to get to that a little bit later. The calling that we're talking about this morning is mostly developed by the Apostle Paul, although the Apostle Peter and others have some great things to say about it too. But we're going to start, I know this is a little bit different this morning, but because it's such a well-known word and expression, we're going to actually start with some do's and don'ts this morning. This is because I'm thinking that, you know, maybe you might doubt me on some of this and you may want to do some self-study, which is totally fine, right? You want to be Berean and all that. And also, just because I know some of you may be like this, if you look at the spelling on do's and don'ts, I looked it up. There's not 100% agreement on how to do the plural of a do and a don't to say do's and don'ts. The great majority say that's how you do it, even though it looks like dos, you know, for those of us who know Spanish. But it's not dos, it's do's and don'ts. Okay, if you were to study this on your own, what we're going to say is, if you're doing a word search, I want to give you those things, those tools that'll help. Do look for a noun. Typically, it's the word calling. Do look for a form of the verb, which is simply to call. Do look for an adjective, which usually is called. So do look for calling, to call, and called. You definitely want to do that as you look it up. But don't make the mistake of thinking that anywhere you see a form of that word of call, that it's always going to mean the same thing. So this morning we're talking about a deeper meaning of the word, a special meaning for the word. But you're going to find in the New Testament, if you look this up on your own, there are just plain Jane meanings of the word too. For example, if you go to Acts 10, verses 17 and 18, the men who had been sent by Cornelius had asked directions to Simon's house, and they appeared at the gate, and calling out, they were asking whether Simon, who was also called Peter, was staying there. So these are some of the plain Jane uses of the word that you're going to see very frequently too. Call as in calling out, right? You're raising your voice. You're trying to communicate with somebody. So they called out and then also called Peter. He was also known as Peter. Simple meanings that you're going to find in the New Testament for these words. Now, a trickier example where we're saying it's still not the special meaning is going to be this verse. Matthew 22:14, where Jesus says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." It's a bit different. So in context, what Jesus has just gotten done telling is a parable. And it's a parable about comparing the kingdom of heaven to a king who's going to host a wedding feast. And in that parable, there is an invitation, but there's a response to some who ignore that invitation and then others who do decide to come. So in a general way, what Jesus is talking about at this stage in his ministry is the idea that all are invited to salvation through Christ. And this is kind of a similar thing to what he's saying in the very well-known John 3:16, but I'll give it to you in a slightly different wording that I like a lot from the International Standard Version. More or less the same idea here, what Jesus says. "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his unique son so that everyone who believes in him might not be lost, but have eternal life." So this is the idea. He's saying there is a general sense that this is going to go out to everyone. There is, in a sense, a general invitation to salvation. But in that general invitation, some say yes and some say no. That's different from what Paul and the other authors in the New Testament are going to teach later on, as they then come into the development of the church, the growth of the church. So the idea is, do look for calling, look for a form of to call, look for called, but don't make the mistake if you do that, if you're searching this out on your own, of thinking that anywhere that the word or form of it gets used, that it's always going to be meaning the same thing. We'll get into a lot more scriptures now, as we now have our next point, which is being called equals being a believer. The way that Paul uses call and calling, the way he refers to it, it's only used of believers. It's only referring to followers, those who are already followers of the Lord Jesus. So here's our definition again that we had put up there. This is why the definition says at the end, and those invited respond yes. In other words, God personally invites people to establish a relationship with Him through the Lord Jesus, and they say yes, and they do indeed establish that relationship with God through Christ by receiving Christ in faith. That's what's behind that. So the way that Paul is then using calling, being called, it equals being a believer. The called are believers, and believers are only those that are called, the way he's using it. Only Christians have this calling. So how do we know then, from the authors of the New Testament, how do we know that they're referring to believers? And I'll give you a bunch of quick examples from Scripture. First, we'll start off with the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy 1:9. God has saved us and called us with a holy calling. So we can say that there's a general call to salvation to everyone. Some accept it, some don't accept it. But this special calling, this holy calling, that's for those who are believers. And you can see that the idea of being called and being saved, being called and salvation go hand in hand. Calling has everything to do with salvation. That's a really simple way to think about it. When you think about my calling as a Christian, your calling as a Christian, it has everything to do with salvation, with living the life out in the life of salvation, in having the consequences, the rewards that come with salvation. Romans 1, 6 and 7, Paul says, "Among whom you also are called of Jesus Christ, and to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints." So this one, it's especially interesting that it says called of Jesus Christ. That preposition is a little bit flexible in how it can be taken, but it's referring, most would say it's referring to a sense of possession. So for example, after the service, if I take you out to the parking lot and somebody says, "Well, oh, Who's good-looking Forester is that?" I can say, "Oh, that's one of my cars. One of my cars." Or I can say, "That's my car." But that's the way that you can use of for possession. And so most Bibles, as I looked at this verse, most also have a sense of possession, saying something like, who are called and they belong to Jesus Christ. We are Jesus Christ. So part of being called is belonging to the Lord Jesus. Don't know if you think of yourself that way, but we should think of ourselves that way. We belong to the Lord Jesus. They're called as saints. These are people that are holy to God. These are people that are set apart by God. And of course, we can easily make that connection between saints and salvation. Next one is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. "To the church of God, which is in Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who are in every place, call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Last use of the word call there is the plain Jane, right? It's this crying out on the name of the Lord Jesus, proclaiming that for yourself. But before then, it's like a bunch of parallel words. The church, those who have been sanctified, saints, okay, all that is related to this idea of calling and how it's believers that we're talking about. What about other authors besides Paul in the New Testament? Does it show that it's really just talking about believers? Jude 1, "To those who are the called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ." So he's writing to believers. They are the called. And then you can see also this idea of possession again, right? They're kept for Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:15. "For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance." So those called are those that are under the new covenant that is in Jesus' blood. This is for those that have received the truth and say, Christ's sacrifice of his life, it's for me. It's the only perfect sacrifice for sin. Those are the people who are the called. And it's kind of interesting here that it says for this reason. You have to read the context a little bit, but what's really cool about that is it's saying that since Christ is the mediator, since he's the one between us and God the Father, believers can be absolutely sure that they will receive the eternal inheritance because he's the mediator. That's the way it's supposed to be understood. So being called is being a believer. But what about the how? What about the when of being called? There's a part of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14 says, he called you through our gospel, says Paul. Most of the Bibles I looked at use the word through. If it helps kind of mentally to think of it, you can also say by means of. We were called by means of the gospel. That's what God used. When we heard the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ, that was the gospel, that was the good news, and by means of that, God was calling us. Now, what it implies is that a person becomes part of the called when they become a believer. So I became a believer in late June 1976. That's when God called me to salvation. That is when I said yes to that invitation. And I was thinking about it. I thought, you know, there may be some people, I say, I don't know the exact day, but I know the week. And I would say June of 1976. But there are people that are like, you know, to be honest, I don't know the exact time of when I got saved. It doesn't matter because God knows when you truly became a believer. So he knows when he called you. You may not quite understand the exact moment of that, but he does. Then the Apostle Peter puts the idea this way: God called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. When did we go from darkness to light? It's at that time when we were taking out of the kingdom of darkness and into light. It was our time of salvation. So the idea of calling, when we were called from darkness to light, was when we received Christ. It's when we become believers. I want to give you a quick Bible bonus here. The men's group on Wednesday mornings is going through the book of 1 Corinthians. If you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, all sorts of stuff going on in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, but like in the second half of 1 Corinthians 7, or maybe two-thirds, there are some parts that get pretty difficult to understand. Understanding that we were called when we became Christians is going to help you to understand 1 Corinthians 7 more easily. He gives a summary of what he's kind of talking about in verse 24 of chapter 7. So here's how the Simple English God's Word translation puts that verse. Brothers and sisters, you should remain in whatever circumstances you were in when God called you. So he's been giving examples in the chapter of all sorts of different circumstances. Staying in a marriage or not staying in a marriage. Or being circumcised or not being circumcised. Or living as a slave or not being a slave. And Paul is saying, whatever were your circumstances when you were called, in other words, when you came to Christ, remain in those circumstances. Or you could word it another way, getting saved is not some automatic reason to divorce your spouse or to get circumcised or to be freed from slavery. It may take some thought, but that's what he's saying. We're going to spend the remainder of our time in what I think is really the most important part of understanding about our calling, and that is that we're called to a life and we're called to God himself. You're at somebody's house and they call out, "Supper!" What are they calling you to? Oh, hard one. Let's say you're at a doctor's office and they call out your name. You're being called to? Anybody say more waiting? No. Sorry. You're being called to your appointment. You're being called to move into the room where the doctor is going to see you. The idea is that when you are called to something, right? And so that's where the rubber is going to hit the road now as we think about this for our lives. What are we being called to? What are we being called to? In general, we said that you're being called to salvation. You could take time to just, you know, turn that over in your head, think about that. What does it mean that God has called me to salvation? But the general idea that I had showed you before We're called to a life that glorifies God and enjoys Him forever. I'm trying to make it a little bit more realistic as we get into some scriptures here to see, what does that mean? What does it mean to be called to salvation? It's kind of two parts. It's the life that we have right now, a life that glorifies God, but then enjoying Him forever as well. So that's what we're saying. This is what God is calling us to. He's calling us to a life that we live a certain way, a life that pleases Him, a life that is in obedient, that shows our love to Him. And He's also calling us to Him, to Himself, to enjoying Him forever. So here's a great verse to start off with, 1 Corinthians 1:9. We're called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ. That is a phrase that is worth thinking about. We're called into fellowship with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, often what we will say as Protestants, as evangelicals, we will say something like, Christianity is about a relationship, not a religion. In other words, like the kind of things you keeping track of what you can do and not do. It's not these rules of religion, it's a relationship. This is why. This verse says why. Because we're being called into a relationship, into a fellowship with God's Son. So when you think about fellowship, a sharing, you can sometimes say that word means. Think about this. The Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament, it says that he shares His life with us all the way to the point of death, but even after that, after His resurrection. He shares His life with us. He shares His status with us, reigning with Jesus, right? He shares His Holy Spirit with us that He said He was going to send. He shares His gifts with us. This is talking about koinonia. A lot of you know the word koinonia. This is koinonia with Christ. It's a spiritual connection with Christ, and it's an amazing thought. You could almost just sort of leave it there. But I did want to add this, because if we're talking about, ooh, this is what I get in Christ, and I get in Christ, and I get in Christ, there may be a temptation for some to just kind of think about the perks, to think about the blessings that come with Christ. So we don't focus on just the benefits, if you want to put it that way, or Jesus is my best bud. And, you know, with a language that seems a little bit on the disrespectful side, to keep us humble, to balance out this amazing idea of having koinonia with the Son, remember what we already saw earlier. We belong to Him. So it is true that we have this fellowship with the Son, but just to balance that out, remember also that we belong to Him. Here's another part of 1 Corinthians 7. God has called us to peace. Now, when Paul is using this word peace, because he was a Jew, educated in the scriptures, I really think that there is a sense of shalom. A lot of you know this idea of shalom. But remember that shalom wasn't just meant to be like a greeting. I mean, really, it was almost like a prayerful desire of a wholeness, of a well-being, an all-encompassing sense of peace. And that peace originates with our relationship with God. Paul goes there at the beginning of Romans 5, if you remember. And then it's the idea of extending out from there. So God has called us to live in peace with Him. And you know what the scriptures say, many of you know, as far as it's possible then, as far as it's possible with us, peace with our family, peace with our neighbors, peace with our coworkers, our fellow students. In other words, peace with others. That is part of what God is calling us to. Galatians 5:13. By the way, that 20, you may see that in the future every once in a while. It just means that, like I'm preaching from the 1995 version, many people, our pew Bibles are the 1995 version. They've slightly changed some wording last year, I think in a good way, with the revision. But Galatians 5:13 says, "For you were called," says Paul, "to freedom, brothers and sisters." It's another verse that we could just stop ourselves and start to think through. What does it mean to be called, that God is calling us to freedom? I'll just say this for now. In context, if you kind of go what comes before those verses and then what comes after the verse, In context, Paul's talking about a freedom from legalism, you know, being bound up by that. But he's also in context talking about freedom from our sinful tendencies. God wants this for us. This is freedom to live by God's Spirit, Him being the one that's empowering us. It's freedom to follow, to keep in step with the Spirit, as it says later in the chapter. So, fellowship with Christ, peace, freedom, and hope. Ephesians 1:18. Paul's prayer, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. You know, you can really see deep inside, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. That's part of his amazing prayer in that chapter. Paul's calling us to hope. He's calling us to hope, not fear. Think about that during the pandemic year. How fearful some people came. God is calling us to hope, not fear. He's calling us to hope, not worry. He's calling us to hope, not doubt, especially doubt about Him and what He's doing. Hope in the Bible is a sense of faith-filled expectation. And it's an expectation of what's coming in the future. We've talked about that before. Great things coming in the future, right? What the Bible says about heaven is where we left off. So there is a great sense of expectation for things in the future, which are going to blow our minds. But more than anything else, it's an expectation of being with God Himself. Amen? Okay? It's the expectation of Him, of enjoying Him. And maybe those thoughts of all these good things that are found in hope, and what we've already said, maybe those thoughts will sustain us when we realize that according to 1 Peter, if we're going to be honest, we're also called to suffering in this life. And that we're also called to bless even against those people who come against us. But the last time that Peter uses called in his letter is this: the God of all grace who called you to His eternal glory in Christ. And that kind of sums it up. That sums it up. We are called to live in a way now that glorifies God. Knowing that may even mean suffering, that may even mean blessing those who have done bad things to us, because we are also called to His eternal glory that comes our way in Christ. When you think about His glory, I've often said this, you can think of glory as brightness or greatness. I find it personally very helpful to stick one of those two words in when I see glory. Sometimes it's literally talking about brightness, and you know, the glory of the Lord came down. That's obviously brightness. But sometimes when it talks about His eternal glory, it means His greatness, His eternal greatness. So this morning we're talking about what the Bible says about calling. So here are some final thoughts. First of all, I think that a great summary passage, it's a well-rounded view that takes in a lot of what we have said this morning. If you want to dwell on maybe just two verses is all you can handle, because I've thrown a lot of verses at you this morning, think on 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14. God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation, through, by means of, sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this He called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see all that? You may see some references to calling, and it's going to show like this, where the Bible does this a lot, and it's good to recognize this, that some things in Scripture are written from a human point of view so that those are easier to understand. But some things are written from God's perspective, from his point of view, and those tend to bust our brains a bit more. It's a lot harder to think through. He's chosen you from the beginning. That means in eternity. God exists outside of time. But the idea of called is taking place in time. That's what happens in time. Yes, His choosing was from eternity, but the call is when you're alive. It's when you receive Christ. He's chosen you from the beginning for salvation. How? Through sanctification by the Spirit. This is this idea of becoming more holy, of becoming more faithful, of enjoying God more, and a continuing sense of faith in the truth. rock solid, growing in your sense of I trust God more and more because of his truth. It was for this he called you. How? We talked about that. By means of the gospel, through the gospel, so that you may gain this excellent greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ. One place it says the greatness of God, another that would be of the Father, and here it mentions the Lord Jesus Christ. So those are two great verses to just think through if you've had too many verses this morning. I'm going to put a blank there so now I can just sort of talk and you don't get distracted by anything that's visual before we end up. The next thing I'm going to recommend is that we stop using calling to refer to just pastors and missionaries. And for some of us, especially if we grew up in that, it's going to be kind of hard. Because that's what we tend to think of. The calling to the mission field, the calling into the pastorate. And I'm going to recommend that, generally speaking, that we stop doing that. All believers are called. If you're a believer this morning, you are called by God. And I'm not saying that we can't treat those categories of people as special. We can treat them as special. We've lived both of those lives. Go ahead, treat me as special. When we had a chance to send the team down to Bolivia some years ago, was it 2015? 2013. Wow, you've more years have passed than I thought. So team was sent down to Bolivia. My part in that team that was sent down was to teach the missionaries for their annual conference. And what I taught them, coming from their perspective, actually ministering in that place, but what I, the series that I led them in to think about was called Just Like Others, Unlike Others. So when you pray for missionaries or pastors, keep that in mind. There are some ways, temptations, hassles they have to work with where they're just like others. And in other ways where, frankly, they are special and they're unlike others, maybe because they go out on a limb in order to serve. So it's okay to be able to hold those two things as like special. But when it comes to the word and phrase of calling or being called, start to think less about missionaries and pastors and start to think about, this means me. So somebody may be thinking, all right, so like if we don't ask some missionary and say, how are you called to the mission field? You know, what is the way that we should be putting it? What's the way that they should be talking about it? I think scripturally the most consistent way would be out of Galatians 5, where we talk about God's leading. You know, that's a phrase. We're keeping in step with the Spirit. We're walking by the Spirit. We talked earlier about this idea of God's guidance. How does God guide? That's earlier in the series. Totally goes along with that. There are scriptural ways that we can think and say, I think God has guided me to this point. I think he's led me to this point. I have tried to follow his leading. So we should stop using calling to refer to just pastors and missionaries. We should start thinking about it as ourselves. Think about what this means for you. If you have the worst self-image in the world, think about what it means that God called you. This automatically means that every person who's born again is special to God. Every life for God has meaning. I mean, really, if he brought you into the world, that's true too, but especially for believers. And this doesn't matter if, I know of a child that said that they received Christ at 3 years old. That little life that God called to receive salvation is just as precious, is just as special as the octogenarian that's maybe toward the end stage of their life. Every believer, that's what the application of this is. Every believer is special. Every believer has value. And it means that if we know of a small child this week in Vacation Bible School that receives Christ, we ought to tell them, you prayed to receive Christ. You are special to God. He has a special plan for you. You're loved and you have value in his eyes. So think about that for yourself. Now, you don't just soak it in. We know that we don't want to be blessing sponges. We want to be blessing funnels, and God is going to pour his blessing through us to other people. But it's important that that's what you get out of this idea of calling. Here was our main point this morning, this general idea. All Christians have a calling, not to a specific job or even ministry, but this is what the New Testament says. It's to a life that you live that glorifies God and enjoys Him forever. That's our calling. And when we think about what He has called us to, yeah, many of us would say, I'm not there yet. I'm nowhere near where He wants me to be with peace and hope and fellowship with Christ. But life is about aligning ourselves with that, of getting there. So we have to be kind of serious with ourselves this morning and say, is there some part of me where I'm like denying my calling, where I'm going against my calling, where I'm seriously out of alignment with what God wants for me, has for me? That's more the serious part to think. I hope this has encouraged you to a degree, but also challenged you too, because that's what it did for me this week. Let's pray. Well, Father God, there may be some here that have not even gotten started on the road to salvation yet. And for them, I just pray that this has been an eye-opening experience to say, wow, this is how God would view me. And we don't know supernaturally how you do these things. We don't have to spend time thinking about you choosing an eternity because you offer this call. And if we obey the call, we were chosen from eternity. I pray, Father God, that you would open up hearts of people, that they would realize that you have given this perfect sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. You gave the best, and this was your desire. We know that there will be some that, even as Jesus indicated, that in that parable, that some will reject this invitation and others will accept. I pray, Father God, that we will think about the implications of this, especially for those that have not yet received that gift. But Father, for those of us to say, no, this isn't just for a special category. This isn't just for pastors and missionaries. This is about me. To really think about what it means, what you have called us to. And are we coming along on those things? Are we growing in those things? Or are we really out of whack? You're the one, Father, who can show us. And I pray, Father, that we would have sensitive hearts to respond in the right way. And then we can be confident that we're living a life that really will glorify you. But then, Father, thank you for this promise also, that really you're calling us to yourself. That's the greatest gift. That's the greatest inheritance, is you. And for the life that is to come that we can enjoy because of what Christ has done. Wow. We know there are great things coming, Lord, but now for this life, what you would have for us, may we live in alignment with your desires for us, with your calling to us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.